Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and we've got a couple of verses that we wanted to share with you today from John chapter 21. John chapter 21, and last week we were talking about our mission as believers, our mission as the church of the living God. And I want to follow up on that with this passage from John chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. And while you're turning there or reflecting on the screens or getting your iPad, whatever electronic device to get your Bible app, I want to give you a little bit of a setting of what's happening in this passage. The disciples have been told or been commanded by Jesus to go to Galilee and there wait for him, and they would get further instructions. So rather than them waiting, they're going to find something else to do. And we find written in verse 5, then Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. We want to preach on the message today, divine directions, divine directions. Let's pray. Father, we are again thankful for this opportunity that we have to worship you. And we come today with a heart filled with love. You didn't have to be with us on last week or even this morning when you woke us up. But God, you were there. As a matter of fact, you made us a promise that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And we are eternally grateful. Thank you for your love. We cannot repay you for it, but we can thank you for it. That's why we come together for worship. We come that we might express our gratitude, but we also come, Lord, that we might hear further instructions as to what you would have us to do and to say and to go forth into this world in which we live. So bless us now. Bless our time together. May it be time well spent. May we hear a message from you that challenges us to go and do that which you've commanded. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just ask for a show of hands. How many of you like to follow instructions? Okay. How many of you'd rather figure it out yourself? Okay. Now, I want to just say this to the men that are here. Men don't like to follow instructions, right? They tend to say, well, I got it. How many of y'all said that? Now, that being said, that may work with minor things. But when it comes to direction of our lives, when it comes to knowing what we're doing spiritually, we're like sheep. We don't have a sense of direction. We don't have a sense of purpose. And unless we have someone that is speaking to us, guiding us and directing us, and unless we are paying attention to what's happening, it's very easy for us to get our lives off course. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many of you have had your lives to get off course, because all of us have. We've either taken the wrong turn, we've either done the wrong thing or said the wrong thing because we have not been following instructions. Everything comes with this instructions. Everything, including your life. That's why God has given us, as Peter says, a more sure word. Where God could have just said, well, I'm going to come and I'm going to physically show you. He gives us his word. And his word is what? It's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. It lights the way up before us so that we can walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You're in this world now. And to figure out how you should live it and where you should go, you're going to have to listen to God. So with that, we come to the disciples. They've gotten the news that Jesus has risen. As a matter of fact, he's already appeared to them and said to them, you know, why have you not believed? Why have you not believed? Why have you not followed the things that I've said to you? And then he said, meet me in Galilee, and I'll give you further things that you need to do. And For 40 days, the Bible talks about where Jesus would appear and then reappear to them. They had not received the Holy Spirit as of yet. Did not receive it. And finally, they'd be sent back to Jerusalem, where they would be endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then they would have that personal guidance on the inside. They would have God to lead them. But isn't it something, 2,000 years later, you and I, as believers in Christ, we're still having problems following God's direction. And so it is that we approach this today. We've got to look at some of the failures that we've had in life and some of the things that we've learned. It's one thing to go through life and fail, but if you don't learn a lesson from it, if you don't really pick up that, hey, something is going wrong, I need to pick a better path. I heard Joel Osteen preaching, and he said that, I went down the street, and the dog bit me. And he said, I blamed it on the dog. He said, I went down the street the next day, and the dog bit me again. I blamed that on myself. Then he said, the third day, I picked a different street. You know, it's the same way with us. When we think about life, isn't it something that we lean to our own understanding? Proverbs warns us, don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. This life was never intended for us to figure it out. And there are a lot of people that are leaning to their own understanding. They're saying, well, I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. I know how I live my life. And the answer is false to all of those questions. Unless God speaks into your life, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know who you are. He has to identify you. He has to say to you, this is who you are, not what you think. And so we're warned that we should not lean to our own understanding. There was a man by the name of Sam Kennison. Some of you probably recall that name. Sam Kennison was a comedian. And as a comedian, he had a foul mouth. But before all of that, Sam Kennison was a Pentecostal preacher. And he just decided that, you know what? Maybe I'd spend my time doing something else. And with him, there was no holds barred. He would say what he wanted to say, live by his own rules. He lived recklessly, and he died the same way. In 1992, in April, Sam Kennison died in a car accident. And one of the things that he said at that accident scene, he said to his brother, Bill, why now? I don't want to die. Why? If you don't want those kinds of questions in life, especially when you come to the end of your life, because all of us are headed, whether we leave one way or the other, all of us, ladies and gentlemen, will leave this world. And either it will be said, you followed the way of the Lord, or you did things your way. You may be able to say with Frank Sinatra, I did it my way, but I don't know whether you're going to get into heaven that way. So we lean to our own understanding. The other thing that we do, we follow others. Now that's good. It's good to take advice. Someone gives you advice, especially if they're maybe a little older, but gray hair is not an indication of knowledge. Amen. Okay, so sometimes the people that you're getting direction from and you're trying to get instructions from, they're worse off than you. They're worse off than you. And as a matter of fact, you got to be careful who you listen to. People will tell you anything, following others. And then we've got to look at the fact that in life we don't pay attention. Simply not looking at the signs. Whether you're saved or unsaved, God gives signs into our lives to tell us, hey, you're going in the wrong direction. I was reading this morning in a devotional where if God loves you, he will chastise you. We think, oh, I love God. God, give me everything I want. Everything's going to be a day. If you go in the wrong direction, God's going to send chastisement to get you straight.
He loves you just that much to chastise you. Let me ask you all, let me just ask a question. You've been a child, and now some of you have had children. Did you correct them? Of course you did. It was in their best interest, and in your best interest, God sends these things in our life to correct us as direction for our life, and if you don't pay attention, you'll just run right through it. God puts a stop sign up there, and we think that means go ahead. Well, God speaks into our life, and we think, well, that means I can just make up my mind to do what I want. No, you got to pay attention. Because I can tell you, if you don't learn the lesson the first time, God will send something else, a little bit stronger, a little bit more forceful, in order to get your attention. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Y'all get mighty quiet. You must be either learning something or saying, well, I don't know. So it is that we've got to make sure that we don't fall into these lesson failures because we didn't follow direction. The directions on the content of that mercuric acid said, be careful with this. But did I follow directions? No. It said, do not use hot water with this product. Did I use hot water? Yes. It said, do not put it under pressure. So I was just trying to clean out one of the pipes at my house. Hooked it up to the hot water. Turn that thing on, put that muriatic acid in there, and meanwhile, you would think from the outside of the house, water was gushing out of the pipe on the top of the house. My wife said, why is water coming out of the top of the pipe on the house? I said, I don't know. And so it is that we've got to pay attention. We've got to listen to what God is doing and what he's saying in our life. Otherwise, we pay the price with a catastrophe. Peter came up with the idea. He said, I'm going fishing. I'm going to go fishing. And the disciples that were with him said, we're going too. Now, did they know how to fish? Yes, of course they did. Had they been fishing before? Yes, of course they did. But did Jesus tell them to do that? Now, on your agenda may not be the fact that you're going fishing. But sometimes we tell ourselves, if I don't know what I'm doing, then let me do what I'm used to. Let me just go back to the familiar. Let me just go back to the thing that I've always done. Now, if you were still doing the thing that you've always did, don't be surprised if you get the results that you've always gotten. It's impossible for us to live this life without following directions. And yet we're in a generation where people say, we don't need any rules. We don't need any guidance. We don't need any, don't tell me what to do. I'm 3 times 7. I remember saying that. And my mother said, it's good you can multiply. But you learn the hard lessons in life when you don't listen. You learn the hard way that there's a wall. There's destruction. There's something that you may not want to happen. No one can truly live without following directions. So Peter said, we're going fishing. And everybody knows you can catch the best fish at night, right? Yeah, fish out there. And you're going out there. You know, a lot of us, we get out there in the deep sea. We're going out and we're going to fish and we're going to catch some fish. So you're out there. All night long they labored. All night long they struggled. Throwing the net out, bringing the net back, throwing it out, bringing it back. And Jesus saw them on the next morning. He knew where they were all night long, but he waited till the next morning. Sometimes God will wait until you get to the point where you're fully frustrated. You're so fed up with life that you're ready to listen now. How many of y'all been there? Yeah, I've been a couple times around that block. And you're so aggravated that you say to yourself, you know what, I've acted a fool. That's a good admission because now you're at a place where you can hear God speaking to you. I'll get to that in just a minute. But the thing that was important about it, and thing that we want to point out in this, is that you got to know what your purpose is. Whenever you're out there with no direction, with no clear instructions as to how you should do things, where you should do it, then you really have no purpose. And purpose is tied to goals, right? The goal in life is not for you to fill your pockets or to fill your boat. The goal in life is to listen to God and allow God to direct you. Peter said, I'm going fishing. But was that his purpose? If you go back in the Bible, Jesus had told them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'll bring that scripture up in just a little bit. I'm going to make you fishers of men. All of a sudden now, he feels that a boat full of mackerel or a boat full of whatever, trout or whatever they found in the sea, that's better than me doing what the Lord says. Just because God's work is hard doesn't mean it's impossible. It simply means you need him. And no one is excused. You don't discharge yourself from this army of God. There is no discharge. And even when you get to glory, there's still a mission for God's people, because there we glorify him. There we honor him. There we worship him forevermore. There is no discharge from this army. So Peter said, I'm going fishing. I dismiss myself. I do things my way. The reason why I'm laughing is because all of us have done that, right? I got it now. Yeah. Second thing is you have no fruit. No fruit whatsoever. All night long, they just toiled. They just labored. This would be a good point to ask a question. How many of you feel like you earn a paycheck to give to somebody else? I mean, you earn it. And then you turn right around and it's gone. If you want to see a disappearing act, just wait to payday. Right? Unless you're laboring for something else that money can't buy. Unless you're laboring and using your resources to honor God. That's where Jesus said, you cast your bread upon the water. Well, actually, Solomon said it, but we reinterpret that through the eyes of Jesus. You cast your bread upon the water, it'll return to you after many days. They were doing things their way. They had no purpose, but they also had no fruit. I want to say to the people who say, I don't need God in my life. I just need to get out here and just do what I want to do. I don't need God. I can always get back to that when I'm old. Okay? So you go out and you fill your treasure. But then you ask why you've got it. Read the history of Howard Hughes, please. Read the history of that man who had everything. But at the end of his life, he lost his mind because he couldn't figure out why he had it. No fruit. And lastly, no results. It's something how Jesus appeared on the shore. Bible said he appeared, but they didn't recognize him. And first of all, they're on the water. He's on the shore, right? So they're not with Christ. You got a lot of people say, I'm walking with the Lord, but you're on water, and he's on the land, and he's saying, hey, I'm over here. You ever seen a two-year-old and trying to get free from their parents? That's like us sometime, right? I mean, I don't want to be held. God says you need to be held. You need me to hold on to you because you don't know where you are. You're in a dangerous place, but you're also in a place where you need me to hold on to you. When God brings you close to him, you enjoy that because he could push you away. Right? So you want to hold on to him. Jesus is on the shore. And then the second thing that's important about this, they don't even recognize him. They could look up and say, wait a minute, I heard that voice before. They don't even recognize because they're so busy in their preoccupation of doing what they want. So he asks them a question. Did you catch anything? And really in the language of that text, I was doing some studying on it. he was really saying to them, hey, tell me how you're doing with your way. He's sort of answering them or asking them this sarcastic question to say to them, okay, now that you've done it your way, did you really accomplish anything? Ladies and gentlemen, God has the right to question us when we know we've turned in the wrong direction. He will question us, okay, you did it your way, now what you gonna do? But then the loving God, here's the love of God. He didn't have to stand on that shore. He didn't have to get their attention. He didn't have to speak to them. He could have allowed them to go one more night. One more night, one more day, one more unfruitful day. But in the midst of our chaos, God speaks to us. In the midst of our doing it our way, God says to us, hey, I'm over here. I want you over here where I am. But then he says something else important to him. Your net is on the wrong side of the boat. That's another sermon for another time. You know, it's possible for us as church folk to do the right thing, but to do it the wrong way. What do you mean by that? I've listened to pastors. I've listened to preachers. And they get up in the pulpit, and they're so angry at their members that they can't preach to them. They're trying to bark at them. Well, some of the stuff that goes on in the church is my fault too, right? So we're all in this boat together. No need of saying to one of us that we're wrong when all of us might be wrong. So I'd rather see if we can seek God together, because I need him as much as you do. And if you haven't noticed it after 40 years, you probably notice this one thing about me. I ain't perfect. If you haven't noticed it, well, as Gomer Pyle said, surprise, surprise, surprise. So no results, no way of really dealing with life. And that's where Christ comes in. He doesn't want your life to be one that summarizes no results, no fruit, no direction. He doesn't want your life to be drifting out there, casting your net, bringing it back empty. And I want to tell you something. It's not the goal or mission of God working in your life to make you a millionaire. It is the goal of Christ Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to get you fit for heaven. To have you so excited about serving God that it lights up everything you do. Yes, he's going to provide for your need. Yes, he will walk with you. Yes, the Lord will take care of you. But don't be surprised that you, if you come to the end of your life and you don't have a whole lot of bank accounts, probably you wouldn't want it that way anyway. Because that means somebody else going to get what you labored all your life to. You know what I'm saying? Just leave them enough to say, hey, this is a good start for you. Yeah. So how do we go about this thing of what I call dynamite? Before I get into the principles, I'm about ready to close here and get ready for Sunday school. Before I get into that, I'm going to tell you this little story. Y'all say, well, he tells so many stories. I got old now. I enjoy telling stories. Okay. This really happened, Rufus. We had, back in our day, you could actually go to the hardware store, Freddie, and you could buy dynamite. You could buy it. They make you sign a piece of paper, and they give you instructions as to what you need to do. And so my grandma, Amanda, was building a house, but the house needed to dig out what we call the basement. And we were going to dig the basement out ourselves. The contractor said, look, are you going to pay me a whole lot of money? You go on and dynamite and you do it yourself. So, Joe, here's what we did. We went to the store. I didn't, because I was about 12 years old. I didn't do it, but they went to the store and they bought some dynamite, whole box of it. And we had instruction. Before you light that dynamite, you let people know that's coming down the road, they need to stop. Because when you blow up that dynamite, rocks and everything going to be flying everywhere. All right, so we out there, and I'm 12 years old. I'm blocking traffic. Don't come down this road right now, because we're fitting to light some, excuse me for being country, but that's the way I tell. We're getting ready to light some dynamite. You don't want to come down this road. So this lady come down there, my uncle and I, we out there, and we're telling, stop. You don't need to come down here, because we got some dynamite here. That lady, she flipped a bird at us. She would come down the road anyway. I remember it like it was yesterday. So she stepped on the gas. About the time she got right near the house, boom! Rocks were flying everywhere. And I looked at my uncle, I said, she don't know how to listen to direction, does she? My point is this. What we need in the church, we need some dynamite. And let people know that there's some dynamite in here. Dynamite when it comes to listening to God. Something lights up. How does that work, preacher? In our problems, in our issues that we face in life, the storms that we have, we need to be able to say forcefully what Jesus said to the storm. Mark 4 and verse 39, Jesus commanded the wind and the wave to be still. That was dynamite. That was a word spoken with power. When we as a church listen to God and follow His direction, we can say to people who are going through problems, God's got this. That's dynamite. That's dynamite to help them. It's something that they can say, if I don't have anything else to hold on to, I'm holding on to that word that you just gave me. That God's going to take care of this. We need that dynamite. We need to reflect that, because if we're the type of church, well, I don't know whether God can do it or not. Whether or not He gives us exactly what we ask or He gives us something else, that's not for us to say. It's up for God to figure it out. All we need to tell them is God's got this. You're releasing dynamite. Another way that we have, Jesus didn't call the disciples to decide they could go fishing whenever they wanted to. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to send you out to bring somebody else in. And ladies and gentlemen, if we as a church decide, well, you know what? We're going to become a political action group. You just messed up there. Now, should every member of the church vote? Absolutely. But to take political action, you're fishing in the wrong pond. Do I have political opinions? Yes. But my word, my thing that God has called me to do is to preach. Amen. And whenever I'm not preaching, I get uncomfortable because I know I'm fiddling with something that I shouldn't. And I'm the type of guy, y'all don't want me to fix stuff. I started to tell you another story of how I fixed my grandma's Opel Cadet. But I'm not going to tell you that story. That was coming next Sunday. Our job is to help people. This is where the army of God is released into all the earth. How in the world do you think the gospel got to Evington, Virginia? All the way from Jerusalem. How did it get here? There were some folks that had some dynamite. And when you and I get this dynamite gospel of God and say, we're going to take it to wherever we can, whoever will listen, we're going to take this message of hope, this message of the love of Christ. If I were you today, I'd get me some dynamite. Now I'm not talking about real dynamite, but I'm talking about the dynamite of God's love, of His power to change lives. Then lastly, godly living. Don't tell me about your God unless you can show me what He can do. Amen. I notice in the Great Commission, Jesus didn't just say, go out and preach the gospel. He said to them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Don't tell me how to live if you don't know how to live. Amen. It'd be a shame for Reverend Coleman to get up in church and talk about people playing the numbers. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And then you see me in line, give me 331. I dare y'all to go play that. Godly living is the way that we release the greatest power of God of all. You don't have to say a word. Just let it show up in your action. And people ask you, why did you do it? I just love Jesus. I love His name. I love the fact that He gave us all for me. I love Jesus. That's what motivates me. That's what moves me. Why do you try to live a righteous life in an unrighteous world? That's what God wants me to do. I'm not proving a point. I'm just releasing what God has in me. We get tempted to do stuff just like everybody else, right? But when you got God holding the reins, that's another sermon for another time. Some of y'all don't know about those mules, right? A mule has his own mind. A horse, they might do what you say, but a mule has its own mind, and some of us are like mules. You got to always be tugging at the lion and pulling them, tell them, come over here. And that's God working in my life. But at the end of the day, his work gets done. And you don't come back with an empty net because you know that you've done the will of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you've sent some dynamite in our lives. You've come to show us the way and give us direction, but that direction is with power. That direction is with conviction. And Lord, I'm praying that forevermore you would lead us and guide us and teach us the way that is right, that we might be able to teach others. I pray this in the strong and awesome name of Jesus and for his sake. And all the people said, amen. I want to extend the invitation. I could have preached longer, but I'm out of time. Y'all tired of listening to my old stories of the country. But you ought not be tired of the fact that God is still working in our hearts and lives to transform us. And if there's someone here today, you don't know Christ, you need to be a part of a church family, we'd love to have you. I'm going to ask we all stand. The invitation is given. Whosoever will, let him come.